You're listening to Unveiling Mormonism from PursueGod.org.
What can Christians learn from the Mormon Church? Now, maybe it's a little bit strange to be hearing that on the Unveiling Mormonism podcast, because usually what I'm doing on this podcast is I'm talking about some of the things that are wrong with the Mormon Church, doctrinal stuff, you know, historical stuff. I'm exposing the truth about Mormonism. We try to do it in a really kind way. We try to build a bridge so that people who are considering leaving Mormonism really can wrap their mind around what the Bible says versus what Mormonism teaches. And we've had a lot of impact on a lot of people out there listening. But today I just thought, you know, it's probably good every once in a while to talk about some of the things that are positive in the Mormon Church. Now, I'm not talking about doctrinal stuff. I'm not talking about so much of the cultural stuff because, again, we've exposed a lot of that stuff over these last several years on this podcast. But there are some things in particular for ministry leaders or church attenders or Christians to learn from. I've got four in particular. We recently released this article by this title, What Can Christians Learn from the Mormon Church? I'm just going to walk you through that article kind of section by section and help you to understand from my perspective some of the good things that some of the things that the Mormon Church does better in some ways than Christian churches. Now, I moved to Utah 27 years ago, planted a church in Utah, which is now a multi-site church. 25 years ago, it's called Alpine Church. If you live in the area, come check us out. And so much of what we do, we reach so many Mormons. But to be honest, I've really learned a lot of things from my Mormon neighbors. Okay, so here are four of them. This is just so helpful. Whether you're a pastor, a ministry leader, or even just a churchgoer to a Christian church, I think these are things that we can learn from. Number one, Mormons have what I'm gonna just call a high bar culture. You know, I think in so many evangelical circles, we've made it easy to belong. In fact, we've made it too easy to belong. We've accidentally, as a result, made it easy to leave. The truth is, the Mormon Church operates on a different frequency, for better or for worse. Okay, but let's talk about the better for a minute here. They expect a lot from their members. And here's what I've noticed in the last 27 years in Utah is a lot of people stay because they expect a lot from their members. So they have a high bar on tithing. They have a high bar on abstinence, abstaining from certain substances, you know, in many cases, coffee, beer, certainly smoking, that kind of stuff. I mean, this is a big commitment to be a part of the Mormon Church. And there's something about that that keeps people in their church. The truth of the matter is, Jesus didn't call us to a low bar life, right? I mean, think about what it says in Luke 14:27, that if you don't carry your own cross and follow me, you can't be my disciple. So here's what I've noticed is in my church in particular, I'm not pointing the finger at other pastors or churches out there. I'm talking about my church too, right? I think sometimes we've lowered the bar so much that actually we lose part of the message of Christianity, which is to give up your life and follow Jesus, right? Now, look, I want to make sure to qualify this, because in the LDS church, the high bar that they have is a lot of times rooted in a works-based system. I'm not advocating for that. I'm not saying that we need to have a works-based system, that the message needs to be, if you don't do these things, if you don't check these boxes, then God won't accept you. That's not the message of the Bible. So I'm not saying that we should raise the bar when it comes to sharing the gospel. We shouldn't say, look, you've got to do these things in order to be accepted by God, because that's not biblical. That's not true. But I do think we should raise the bar when it comes to those who have accepted the gospel, right? We talk about this in the Pursuit series, that first of all, we start a relationship with God by trusting Jesus. That's it. By placing our faith in Jesus. That's the beautifully simple message of the gospel. We talk about that all the time on this podcast. However, step number two, arrow number two is once you've put your faith in Jesus, once you've become a child of God by faith through grace, then we live our lives to honor God. And that does require a high bar. We should raise the bar in so many of these areas in terms of spiritual disciplines, in terms of giving, in terms of serving in the church. And then the third thing we say in this full picture pursuit of God to truly be a biblical follower of Jesus is that you should help someone else become a follower of Jesus. You should make disciples. And again, this is something that the Mormon Church does a really good job with, right? They send out their missionaries out of high school. You've probably seen them in your hometown riding around on their bike with their white shirts and their name tags, right? This is part of the high bar culture in the Mormon Church. This should not be a Mormon thing. This should be a Christian thing. We should be raising up people in our church who put their faith in Jesus, make a commitment to submit their lives to Him and honor Him with their lives. And then we should be raising up people who know how to share their faith, who know how to mentor people, who know how to disciple people. This actually is why the Pursue God tools exist. So if you've never used the Pursue God resources for disciple making and mentoring in your church, check out the about page at pursuegod.org to learn about how to do that. Anyway, that's the first thing. Mormons are really good at raising the bar for following Jesus, even though Mormons don't have the Jesus of the Bible, even though they raise the bar to even come into the faith, right? So it's a works-based religion. So I'm not saying that they've got that part right, but there are other parts to their high bar culture that I think we can really learn from. All right, number two, prioritizing the family. This is probably what you think of when you think about Mormons, at least I do. I've lived here for 27 years. One of the most striking aspects of the LDS faith is their relentless focus on the home. I mean, they are investing in parents to be the primary spiritual leaders of their children. They have something called Family Home Evening. You've probably heard about it on this podcast before, where they come together, they really make sure that families are doing devotionals together, they're investing in one another. This is a dedicated time for families to learn together. It's something that happens all around the state of Utah and anywhere Mormons exist. You know, this has actually even impacted architecture in Utah. If you buy a home in Utah, no, this is no joke. There's a front room. Most homes have a front room specifically designed. I think they call it the bishop room, so that if the bishop were to come, the leader in the local church were to come and visit you, that's the place that your family would sit with the bishop. So, I mean, they're so bought into this prioritizing the family that it even impacts the way the homes are built in Utah. It's pretty crazy. And so I think this is, again, it's kind of a pro and a con in Mormonism. I'll get to that in a second. But I think, first of all, let's talk about the pro. As Christian leaders, I think we fall into the trap of thinking that our programs are the main event, okay? And this isn't to say that Mormons don't have programs. They do. But they're really focusing on families in Mormonism, and I think this is something that we can learn from as Christians. Deuteronomy 6:7 talks about, you know, sharing God's word with our children. Moses is speaking to parents and grandparents before they enter the promised land. He says, look, when you're at home, when you're on the road, when you're going to bed, and when you're getting up, this is the mentality that we should have. I think Christian churches have kind of fallen for this lie that the spiritual leader of your family is the pastor at the church. I think there's a certain amount of truth to that, but the Bible speaks more about leadership in the home. It speaks more about parents, dads stepping up and being spiritual leaders in the home. So many churches don't ever emphasize that. Mormons do emphasize that. And I think this is something we can learn from. Now, again, to be sure, Mormonism goes a little bit too far with this, right? So they focus on the family, but actually they put family almost on the throne. In fact, a lot of Mormons are Mormon because they love family, not because they love Jesus. Even the whole picture of eternity for a Mormon is very focused on a non-biblical concept. They believe in eternal marriages, Whereas the Bible teaches that marriage is only for this life. Mormons don't believe in that. Mormons believe there's going to be there's a heavenly father and a heavenly mother. That's not biblical. And so this is one of the reasons they have such a focus on families. They believe that that husbands and wives can be sealed together eternally in the temple, in this temple ceremony. That's not biblical. They teach this idea of eternal progression women, and we've talked about this on the podcast before, but women, if you're married to a godly, faithful Mormon man, that you will be heavenly mother someday and he will be heavenly father. You'll populate your own planet. You can progress to godhood, basically. So again, the more you get into this with Mormons, the more you realize, oh man, this family emphasis doesn't come from a good place. I still think we as Christians can learn from this and recognize that we need to strengthen families. We need to build up families. We need to make sure we're investing in our kids in a biblical, godly way. And in some ways, Mormons have us beat. Again, their motivation for it is wrong. Their theology around it is wrong. But some of the practical way that works out in their homes is something we can learn from. All right, number three, and this is something that Mormons do so much better than Christians do, and it's a system of community support. So the LDS Church has this lay-led infrastructure that ensures that almost no one falls through the cracks. So every member is assigned a ministering brother or sister, and those people are responsible for checking in on those members. So if someone loses a job, if someone gets sick, the local congregation, it's called a ward in Mormonism, is often there with a meal or financial help before the person even thinks to ask. So this is especially true in Utah. There's an amazing sense of community for Mormons in Utah. In fact, in our church, this is something that we've really had to learn from. We've had to strengthen in our church. Alpine Church is a multi-site church in northern Utah. And we noticed as people were coming out of Mormonism, coming into our churches, there were so many things that they loved about our church, you know, our worship, our services, the freedom, the Bible teaching, all of that stuff was a breath of fresh air. But one of the things that a lot of former Mormons really missed was this community support. Now, again, for some people, it's overwhelming, it's overbearing. I'll get to that in a second. In other senses, in other ways, it's actually really, really supportive. It's good to know that when a family member dies, that your community is going to step up. They're going to get involved. In fact, in the community that I live in, we live alongside a river. The river reached flood stage. A bunch of homes in our neighborhood flooded. And because most of my neighbors are Mormon, I got to see firsthand how the bishop in the neighborhood jumped in. He was like the de facto sort of community organizer. And I'm telling you what, he got that community of Mormons activated. They were helping each other out. I mean, it was really, honestly, it was a thing of beauty for me to see the Mormon church at work. Now, at the time, our church was a smaller church. We didn't have a whole lot of structure or strength at the time, but today we do. Now we're a thriving local church with six, you know, campuses. But I even think now, like, do we have the structure to really pull off that kind of support if there was some kind of an emergency? Not quite like the Mormons do, but we're getting better. And I think every church can learn from this as well. Now, what's the downside of this? I think that a lot of Mormons, even former Mormons listening to this, would say, yeah, there's an upside, but I know there's a downside. So it can lead to this culture of performance for Mormons. It actually can lead to a culture of surveillance for Mormons. I mean, think about it. You're expected to go to church every single Sunday if you're Mormon, and your neighbors all go to the same church that you go to. At least that's how it works in Utah. So I've heard from many former Mormons that they would say that when they were in the Mormon church, if they came home late on a Saturday night, from vacation, let's say, but the rest of the ward thought they were still on vacation, they would, no joke, they would sneak into their garage. Maybe some of you listening could put some comments if you've done this before. They would quietly sneak into their garage so that the neighbors wouldn't know. They'd kind of keep their lights off because they'd like to sleep in and not be expected to go to church the next morning. That's the kind of thing that can happen, especially with Utah Mormons. It's this culture of surveillance and this culture of performance. It can be very suffocating for sure in Mormonism. So again, I think there's something to learn from it on one side, but there's also, again, in Mormonism, I think because of the works-based religion that Mormonism is, I think there's also some negatives that go along with it. But for Christians, my point is, I think there's a lot to learn from Mormons when it comes to their community support, the positive side of the community support that they give to their members. All right, one last thing, and I know there are probably a lot of things that we can share, but these are just the four things that come to mind from my experience living among the Mormons. And the last thing I think that Christians can learn from Mormons is this idea, this culture of a shared identity. Every Mormon knows who they are and what they believe. Now, I know that's shifting a little bit with New Mormonism, if you've listened to any of the recent podcasts, but there's still a lot of unity. There's a lot of clarity when it comes to being a Mormon, even though they don't use that language anymore. But from a very young age in the Mormon church, Mormons are taught a specific narrative. They're taught a clear set of values. So there's a really a powerful sense of we when it comes to Mormonism. I think in Christianity, we don't always have that. You know, we have lots of different denominations. I think that's a good thing, not a bad thing. But I think there's also a lot of infighting among Christians. There's not as much of a shared identity among Christians. Now, hopefully in our churches, there's a really good, solid sense of shared identity. For me and my church, and in the fellow churches around us, like I feel like we've cultivated a sense of we when it comes to evangelical Christianity, because we need to show that we're more unified than we are divided as Christians. Again, in Mormonism, Mormons look at all the different denominations and say, see, this is what's wrong with Christianity. They don't have this cultural shared identity. So again, among the Christian churches in Utah, we really try to be more unified than anything. We try not to like speak down on other Christian denominations in the area like you might find in some parts of the country or in some parts of the world. We really try to have a more shared identity as evangelicals. But you got to admit, Mormons do this better than Christians do. I think there's something positive to be gleaned from this for those of us in Christian churches. Now, I also think that there's a lot of theological problem around this when it comes to Mormons and their identity, because the reason there's such a shared sense of we is because Mormonism was a movement. If you know anything about the culture of Mormonism, the history of Mormonism, the backstory, Joseph Smith was praying about which church should he join, and he says that God told him, don't join any of them, they're all apostate. And so a lot of this we identity for Mormons is about saying, we've got the right truth, these guys don't have the truth at all. Clearly, that's not biblical. Clearly, this idea that there was an apostasy, you know, a couple thousand years ago after the apostles died out, and that the true church hasn't been on the earth all this time, clearly that's not biblical. That's not even logical. We talk about that quite a bit on this podcast. So again, some of the motivation behind this common shared sense of identity, some of that motivation is wrong. A lot of that theology is wrong. A lot of that history is wrong. But I do think that there's something to be said for having a clear mission as a church, making sure that as you're raising up children in your church, that you help them to understand what it means to be a follower of Jesus, what it means to be a biblical Christian. There should be a sense of community around that. There should be a sense of shared identity around that. because more and more we send our kids off to school or out into the world, and they can easily forget who they are. So I think there's something to be learned, even though there's some things we need to be careful about as far as Mormons go with regard to this issue, but there's something to be learned from them. So anyway, that's the brand new article at Pursue God. Again, it's titled, What Can Christians Learn from the Mormon Church? We can learn about their high bar culture. We can learn about their prioritizing the family. We can learn about their community support. And we can learn about this culture of shared identity. I think all of those things, we can benefit from studying how Mormons do that, even though we don't buy into Mormon theology, we don't buy into their origin story, we definitely don't agree that Mormonism is another denomination. All those things can be true, and yet we can still gain from Mormons and the way they run their church. So check out the article. Have this conversation, you know, maybe open up those discussion questions. Have this conversation with your, maybe your small group, or bring it to your pastoral team or your leadership team at church. I hope this is a helpful topic to talk through. And who knows, maybe for some of you Mormons listening to this, maybe you would say, okay, I get it. I get that we do some things right, but that doesn't mean that the message, the underlying message of Mormonism is right.
Thanks for listening. If you would like to give to help support our ministry, please visit pursuegod.org/donate. Find more resources to talk about these topics with your small group, family, or mentor on pursuegod.org.